Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Vines Uniting Church this fine Sunday morning. Pretty warm outside, I'm sure. We're going to start this wonderful service with a great song, Come Now Is the Time to Worship. And this is the time to worship. Please stand, everybody.
Now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now's the time to worship. Come, now's the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, come, come.
Amen. This is a place of worship. We've come to worship our God, our Saviour. And the next song says, Here I Am to Worship. I hope we can get into that mode of worship. And sometimes I believe it is an actual act of, a deliberate act to want to come to worship. And this song typifies that. Let's see if we can.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart. Oh, so highly exalted. to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am
Father, we come to you today, expectant to see you and hear you, Father. You call us to come to worship you, and we praise you for that. And we pray also, Lord, that we would catch a glimpse of who you are in our hearts, in our minds. And Lord God, may this service be a pleasure to you to watch and to hear, as well as our congregation, Lord. May you bless each and every one of us as we give you praise today, and especially as the word is presented, Father, may that speak volumes to all of us who are listening. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to go into a response prayer for from Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12, and I'll do the leader part, and then if you can repeat the response after that, would be great. Psalm 139, 7 and 12. Where could I go to escape you? Where could I get away from your presence?
If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you would be there.
If I flew away beyond the east, if I lived in the farthest place in the west,
you would be there to lead me. You would be there to help me.
I could ask the darkness to hide me or the light around me to turn into night.
But even darkness is not dark for you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you.
Amen. It's a very apt reading. I suppose many of you have received my email declaring my resignation from the Vines Church. And believe me, after 24 years, it's a very difficult decision to make. But let me just explain a little bit of how that eventuated. When the Vines was closing down for COVID, there were times where I just felt the need to go around to different churches and to worship. And I was going around, I noticed that there were some churches that required help as far as musicians are concerned and worship. And maybe you've heard that a few of us sort of formed a little band together and we started going to different churches just to help out in worship. So I went to one particular church, that was Hallett Cove Baptist Church, and every time I went there, every time we played there, it was like God was sort of speaking to me, to my heart, saying, Bill, I think I need you to be here to this church. And of course I'd say, nah, that's ridiculous, Lord. It just never went away. Until the point where I had to put out fleeces. I hope you heard my sermon back on January the 3rd where Gideon put out a fleece, and I did the same. And each and every time, it just kept coming back as, yes, Bill, I need you at the Hallett Cove Baptist Church. And I couldn't say no to God. I really had to do it. I really have to go. So I've sent out emails, I've spoken to David, and I've spoken to the other David at the Helico Baptist Church, and it's going to happen on March the 31st will be my last service here. And I pray that I've really recognised that as I've been around the different churches, we are all just one big family in Christ. When I walk out that door, I pray that I can just walk back in just then, very soon afterwards, and still be part of the family, as any of you would come to there or any other church. So yeah, it's a sad time, but I can't say no to God. So that's my reasoning behind leaving the Vines. And after 24 years, I've been so blessed. I've learned so much, gained so much from this congregation. It's been an absolute blessing. But I pray I can leave with your blessing, and that when we see each other in Foodland next, we can still say hello to each other. So yeah, that's my reasoning for leaving the church. And now we'll go into the reading. Thanks, Ken.
The reading this morning is from Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, and verse 10. Jonah tries to run away from God. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Conversion of Nineveh. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, time for the kids' talk, but before I do that, hey, Bill, thanks, man. I've really enjoyed having a part of our life here, and on behalf of the church, we really just want to thank you and give you a round of applause.
Thank you, brother.
Seriously, yeah.
Thank you.
With all humility, thank you for your gift and your
thanks a lot, bro.
Music to us. So, kids, one of the things I want to talk about today is we were talking about how does God talk to us? Remember how last week we were talking about, does God use a big voice? Does God send us emails or letters? How does God talk to us? And then Sam said, well, God speaks to us in our heart. That's a beautiful picture, wasn't it? And one of the things that we hear from this reading is that this guy called Jonah, God was speaking to him. Now, he had a bit of a problem. You know, he had this, what we call the other left syndrome. So I'm not sure if you're driving in the car with your parents and they might say, turn left here. And the driver turns to the right. And the person in the car says, no, the other left. And said, oh, that's right, turn it. It's a bit like Jonah. You see, God said, Jonah, I want you to go over here. So Jonah went that way. So God said to Jonah, Jonah, I want you to go up. So guess which way he went? Down. God said, go left. Jonah went right. God said, I want you to go to this city. So what did he do? He went to the other city. So Jonah kept running away. And Jonah, we know the story about, is where he encounters a big fish when he gets thrown overboard. And he has to sit in the fish and do some thinking about what he's going to do. Does he listen to God? Does he keep running? What is he going to do? So it's one of those things that we have to do too, because God invites us to be happy. But if we do a Jonah, we end up being sad. Now, sometimes being sad is just what happens in life. It's been a bit like what happens. But part of the invitation is God wants us to feel that love in our heart, that sense of connection, that sense of hope we have. And so when we feel a bit lost and we're not sure which way we're going, we stop and we pray. That's what Jonah did. In the end, he prayed. So let me share a prayer with you as we continue to think about how God speaks to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for children. Thank you for adults. Thank you for our lives. We thank you for all the different people who have listened to you. Help us to pray when we find ourselves lost, when we're not sure which way we're going. Help us to find your direction. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, so emails have been going around with Bill. I even sent you an email this week too. So part of, I guess, the surprise you would have had when you opened that email was the invitation Synod has had to the Vines to partner up with Prince Alfred College so we can support Kangaroo Island. Now, that was a big surprise to me. It's been a big surprise to us all. And one of the realities was that Synod have been looking to find someone to go across to Kangaroo Island to be supporting them in disaster relief. Now, Mark Dickens, who was a part of the Army response beginning of last year, who I coordinated, spent 6 weeks on Kangaroo Island. And so he's currently the chaplain of Prince Alfred College, and will remain so. And they've asked if he would spend half of his time at Prince Alfred College and half over at Kangaroo Island, bringing about support and care. And he'll actually do a great job because he's already got those networks. And what the Synod have then asked us at the Vines and myself is whether I would provide a couple of days a week. Now, initially, it's like, man, how are we going to do that? But we've had a look at the calendar and the diary, and it actually works pretty well. So you're still going to see me on Sunday. Don't think you're going to get away that easy. I'm still going to be around Sundays. And what we'll do is I'll have a couple other preachers come in, which will help reduce some of the workload in that. And we have other people stepping us up as well. So while initially it seems like, man, what are we going to do? Actually, I think it'll work quite well. Just need to be good with my diary. Anyway, so I guess it's appropriate talking about Jonah doing God's will. So there you go. Look, let me share some prayers with you as we consider where we're going, not only as a church, but as a world. Lord Jesus, we think of the world in which we live. It seems so small because we can turn on the TV and find out the latest information. We can turn on the computer and get updates. It seems that whatever is happening in a different part of the world, we know almost immediately. We think particularly of America and all the trauma they've had with the transition from Trump to Biden. And I guess they're still going to have dramas in the coming years. Lord, we think of the way politics tends to get skewed and people end up doing what is best for them rather than best for the people they serve. We think of the world as it battles to try and figure the best way through this pandemic. And while we don't want to keep talking about that, because we're sick of it, to be honest, we recognize for many parts of the world, they're still in the midst of this disaster. So, Lord, we ask for patience and peace for us, but patience and peace for the other people in different countries. Lord, we think of the church that is trying to minister and be your body as we find creative ways to reach out to those in need. We think particularly of each local congregation as they endeavor to find their way to connect in with those, the ones they bump into, the shopping centers, the ones who are their neighbors. Lord, we continue to ask that your Spirit would help us to reach out in God's love, not just get focused inwards. And finally, ourselves, Lord. We think of Jonah and his desire to run. And if we're honest, sometimes we're like that. We want to run away from things. Help us to pause, to stop, to pray, to allow those circumstances to invite us to deeper faith. Lord, We thank you that you are with us. That whatever happens for the rest of 2021 or 2010, whatever the future holds, you are with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I think I actually did a bit of a time shift and went backwards with that prayer, but you know what I mean. Thank you.
Our God is an awesome God. Please stand as we sing.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven with wisdom, power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He
As the band goes down, let me share a prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds so that we may continue to be surprised by this season of Epiphany, where we may, like many of the disciples and prophets, say, aha, discover something new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, so last week we had our aha moment when we were thinking of Samuel and Eli, you know, young 12-year-old Samuel who kept hearing this voice calling him. And in the end, God had to stand at the end of his bed on the fourth time and speak to him. And Eli, he was just as slow, should have known better. But eventually he twigged that God was doing something. And what I like about that story is that God did not give up. God is not like some people we know who you make one mistake with and that's it. They cross you off forever. God is a God of second chances. God is a God who does not give up on us. And the story of Jonah is one of those well-known stories. And I really like the story. And we could have actually spent a lot of time on it and done a series on Jonah. Maybe we will. But what I particularly like is we know Jonah because he's the guy who gets swallowed by a fish, don't we? A giant fish. And he lives there for 3 days and three nights to figure out and reflect on his sins for disobeying God. And yet, ironically, Jonah is probably the most successful prophet in the whole of the Old Testament. And we are told that through his words, 120,000 people were converted and repented. So that's a pretty serious effort. I mean, you could say that Jonah was a hero. It's a bit like, you know, the person who is the last person who kicks the goal that makes the difference. It's a bit like the Indian Test cricket team, you know, in the last couple of overs. Insane, they shouldn't have won that, but they did. It's, you know, heroes are made of those things where, against all odds, they overcome. But I have to say, when I read the story of Jonah, he just made me angry. Because God would say, do this, win the game, kick the last goal, hit the final six. And Jonah would go the opposite direction. Reminds me of a book I read years ago, and I was so angry at the main character that he's supposed to be the hero, and yet all the things he was doing, I was having a conversation with the book. Come on, get up, do it. You're supposed to be the hero. And it annoyed me so much, I stuck it in the shed. I think I found it 10 years later. In the end, it was an all right book, but man, it was hard going. Jonah cannot be considered a hero. He's an anti-hero. In fact, the book of Jonah is full of irony. Now, let me explain irony. Irony is a little different from sarcasm. Sarcasm is like going outside and it's really hot and you say, yeah, wonderful day. You know, it's where irony is you go out and say, what a fantastic day, it's sensational, and then it rains. So that's irony. And, you know, the irony of Jonah is that God tells Jonah to go. And let's just have a little look on the map here. And this is where God tells Jonah to go. God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. And so Jonah goes down to Joppa and then across to Tarshish. So God says, go there. Jonah goes there. Very ironic. So as Jonah goes down to Joppa, he gets into a boat and gets down into the bottom of the boat and hides in the bottom of the boat. And when he's getting down in the boat, no doubt he's feeling a bit bad about that as well. I mean, Tarshish is in Spain. It was considered the end of the earth. He knew he was doing a runner. He knew where God wanted him to go. I don't know, was he scared of God? Was he afraid that he'd go to Nineveh and no one would listen to him? Like poor old Jeremiah. What was it that made him ignore God? Because it was pretty clear. So when, there's a great quote that I came across from George Robertson. When one sets out to baffle God, there is bound to be a storm. And there was a storm, a very violent, terrible storm. And in the storm, as the ship set sail, I'm not sure how far it got, but we're told that the sailors who were veteran sailors, and in the old days you'd need to be pretty courageous, figured out that this storm was a supernatural storm. And so they were frantic to try and figure out what was going on. Here are these strong, brave sailors, frantic and fearful, and here's our wimpy little prophet who's doing a runner, lying in the bottom of the boat, sleeping like a baby. Ironic, isn't it? Big brave soldiers running around scared. Poor small wimpy prophet sleeping like a baby. Irony. How is that possible? How is that possible? You know, when they eventually wake him up, and after having found him, they said, "Who are you? What are you doing on this ship?" And again, he says, really bravely, "I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." And again, you know, he's already told them he's running away from this, his God. And so the irony is that after he says these words, the crew fall down and worship God. So again, what sort of witness is he doing? He's doing a pathetic witness. And yet God somehow uses his words. It's this ironic experience. So Jonah goes down to Joppa. He goes down to the bottom of the boat. He goes across to the then ocean, you know, the Tarshish, tries to get across to the known bottom of the universe. And then the sailors grab him and chuck him overboard. And he goes down, 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 and ends up in the bottom of a fish's stomach. Now, things get really down, I would imagine, for him. It's a bit like, I guess, all the tennis players who have come across to the Australian Open. And the irony is that for many of them, it's not very open at all. They're doing 14 days, and aren't they complaining? And, you know, Tomic's girlfriend actually was saying that, you know, it's very hard for her because normally she has someone wash her hair twice a week, and she's having to do it herself. You know, I'm sure she was just being flippant and funny. Ironic, wasn't it? How ironic is that? But for Jonah, when he finds himself in the whale, he has a bit of an aha moment where he suddenly discovers, you know what, I'm in big trouble. Now, what is he going to do? Does he turn to the God he has been running from? Does he actually repent himself? Here's some of the words he says in chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, or hell, I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. And the waves and your billows passed over me. Verse 7, as my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Now this is a wonderful parallel for us all, isn't it? I mean, often we think that whatever we've done is so bad that God could never listen to us. I'm telling you, Jonah did a runner in a way that most people wouldn't dare. And yet when he stopped and prayed, God heard his prayers. What does that say for us? What does that say for our journeys? What does it say for the hope we have? Now, technically, you're really not running away from someone when you're in the belly of a whale or a fish. But you know what I mean. God hears Jonah's prayer and coughs Jonah up. And so we have this nice little picture here. We serve a God of second chances. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And that's where we picked up the second reading from chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The big question people listening to this story would have thought is, has Jonah learned anything from his life so far? You know, in our life, we have experiences. And if we do not learn from our experiences, guess what? They come back and we get hit with repeat on them. So Jonah had an opportunity to reflect on his experiences so far. So when God gives him a second word, guess what he does? Hands up if you think he actually responded to what God said and obeyed. Hands up. Now there's a few hands. Well, yes, you are right. He did learn from his experience. He'd had enough of fish guts and algae and every plankton and everything else. And he learned. So there's a big aha moment for Jonah. I need to do what God has asked me to do. I have to do what God has asked me to do. And so one of the wonderful things that as Christians that we affirm out of this story is that God is a God of second chances. God is a forgiving God. God forgave Jonah when he asked for forgiveness. And I'm not sure about you. I've probably used up my two chances very early on. I'm not sure what chance I'm up to now or what chance you're up to. But the wonderful thing we affirm is that God is loving and forgiving and will give us chances. We never run out of chances. Thank God for that. And God is constantly endeavoring to bring about change and to do things. You know, God calls and invites us to do things differently. You know, God's call to Jonah was inconvenient. I'm not sure what he was doing before God's call came along. God's call to Jonah was persistent and challenging and took him to places he didn't want to go. So, the book of Jonah doesn't end there. Let me just finish off the book for you at least. So, the conclusion to the book of Jonah is as follows. Jonah gets to Nineveh, and God says he's got to go 3 days into the city center. He goes 1 day. So he's there, but he's under duress. He still hasn't got it. And instead of giving this great big testimony, all he says is, repent, in 40 days you're going to be toast. And then he goes out of the city and sits and waits for God to do something. Now, unbeknown to Jonah, his simple words spread like wildfire, and the king proclaims a time when everybody, including the animals, should have sackcloth. So that's where a whole group of people are converted. And we find Jonah sitting under a tree. Is he overjoyed that he's a hero? Yes! No. He's sitting there. He's got the sulks. He's got the self-pity. He's just stewing in his juices. Probably still smells a little bit like fish juice, but, you know. So he's stewing there. And God says, what's wrong? And he says, I knew you were forgiving God. I knew you were going to forgive these guys. It's a waste of my effort, waste of my time. I could have still been back home and you could have just forgiven them. What's the point? So Jonah's missed the point. It's not about him. It's not about the Babylonians. This is about God's nature. This is not about him. This is about God's generous forgiveness. See, epiphany for us all is discovering God's purposes, not our own. Jonah was so immersed in his own agenda, he missed God's purposes. Hearing God's voice is about not hearing our own. It's about hearing God's. Epiphanies are about discovering God's purposes, not our own. And it can be difficult, you know, like this week, trying to discover God's purposes with what happens with KI and PAC and the vines. And in the end, it's about God's purposes. We are looking out. We are loving outwardly, reaching out with God's love, not reaching in with God's love. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about Jonah. It's not about the Babylonians. It's about God's love, a love that never ends. So, lessons from Jonah. It's a little slide here that I've come across. And like many things, the invitation we have with any scripture is to think about, well, how does it connect with me? So I've said a lot of different words, but the opportunity you have is, well, how am I connecting with this story of Jonah? Are there similarities? Are there parallels? Where am I in this story? Am I still in the whale? Am I on the boat? Am I still running, or am I actually in Nineveh telling people what you feel God is wanting you to do, discovering God's purposes? I'm not sure what font that is in. It looks like Halloween font, but it's not meant to be scary. Although you could say it's a bit waterlogged, so maybe it's very appropriate for being in the belly of a fish. But our aha moments can be discoveries about God's purposes. Are we you doing a Jonah, running the other way, in the bottom of the boat, in the belly of a whale, grumbling about following God, resenting God's forgiveness to others? I don't know. Good question. Interesting question. It's a question of epiphany. It's the invitation we have. I'll invite you to just pause for a moment as you think about that. Let me share a prayer as the band comes up. Lord Jesus, well, lots of different images there, aren't there? Again, we're invited to discover your purposes in our life as individuals and a church. Lord, we just continue to ask for your peace, your spirit, to equip and encourage us and discover the big picture you would have for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Some good questions there. Are we following God's call? I guess that's been part of my journey for the last 6 months. I hope that meant a lot to you as we heard that message today. So as we leave today, what about we sing, "We are marching in the light of God"? Are we going where God wants us to be? That's a good question.
We are marching in the light of God. 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 We are marching, marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are living in the love 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 of God. We are living, living, we are living. Oh, we are living in the love of God. We are living, living, we are living. Oh, we are living in the love of God. We are moving in the power 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 of God. We are moving, moving, we are moving. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching. are marching in the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God.
Well, we have a lot of fun. Look, let me encourage you again. Choose life. Choose life. Connect with others, because to grow stronger through COVID, we have to express and care for each other by showing love. That's probably the world's longest ramble as a conclusion, but go in peace. God loves you.